The healthcare industry has undergone transformational change in the past 10 years, especially as it relates to the implementation of technology. Even so, there's much more to do, and many companies are out there doing it, but you don't know about them. At Intrepid Healthcare, our podcast will bring you the crazy ones, the rebels, the troublemakers, the ones who see things differently. The people that are crazy enough to think they can change the world in healthcare. So sit tight and enjoy as we tell the story of another thought-leading trailblazer.
Welcome back to Intrepid Healthcare. I'm your host, Joe Lavelle. I'm really looking forward to our discussion today with another trailblazing innovator who comes to us to contribute to our special mini-series on caregiving. We're going to get right to it today. We're joined by Denise Brown. Denise is a founder and CEO of caregiving.com. Denise, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Joe. It's a thrill to be with you today.
Well, thanks so much for making the time to be here. Before we start our discussion, Denise, could you take a few seconds and tell the audience about you and your background?
Yeah, let's see. I'm a helper. And so I found a place to help, and that is with family caregivers. Yeah, I started the website in 1996 and just kind of grew it from there.
Good deal. That's a great segue. Could you take a couple minutes and give our audience a 10,000-foot overview of caregiving.com and what it does?
It's an online community, and the goal for the community is to create opportunities. During a personal caregiving experience, oftentimes you feel like you have to say no to everything. No, I can't go out on a Friday night. No, I can't travel. No, I can't take that promotion at work. And the goal is to create possibilities by offering the chance for members of caregiving.com to start a blog, to start a podcast, to join video chats with me, and to present at our national caregiving conference. In addition, we have training programs that help either during your experience or after your experience has ended. You know that when caregiving is over, you take with you this wealth of information about community resources, about caregiving hacks, what to do in the house to make it work, what to do in your life to keep it. And we want to take that experience and help former family caregivers turn it into a small business so that they consult with current family caregivers to help them save time and money, to help kind of soothe the pain that can be so prevalent during caregiving.
I love it. And having recently gone through it, I definitely have my list of hacks. Tell us, Denise, what inspired you to launch caregiving.com back in 1996?
I'm a writer, and I was working in trade magazines way back when. It was one of my first jobs when I graduated from University of Illinois with an English degree. And no one read what I wrote in the trade magazine because it's all about the ads. And so my ego is big. And I thought, you know what? I've got to do something that's more meaningful. I lived out east at the time, and I was going to try to get some freelance writing gigs in New York City, needed a part-time job to keep things going, really fell into this job managing a congregate meal site in a small town in New Jersey. We fed a hot meal to the local seniors and delivered Meals on Wheels. And that was my first introduction to family caregivers because the adult children would call me and say, did mom come for lunch today? What did you think about how she looked? Well, I was a writer. I didn't really have that nurse or social worker background, but the stories were so compelling to me because they would tell me what it was like for them. And then I moved into another job managing a respite program for a county in New Jersey, continued to work with family caregivers, providing them with a break and as an admissions director in a nursing home. And just the writer in me was so taken by these stories of the impact of this personal caregiving experience that I wanted to match what I had done and learned in publishing with my experience in working with family caregivers. And so launched a business. My first product actually was a monthly newsletter called Caregiving. And I started that January 1995. And then later that year, someone told me about this newfangled thing called the internet and how he had a buddy that was online making money. And I thought, well, that's where I want to be. So I did my first really basic website using Prodigy. If you remember, Prodigy
yes.
was one of our very, I took a online class on how to build a website through Prodigy and then launched Prodigy Pages as my first website just to see, were there people out there that would come to my website? And they did. So then I got the domain name in August of 1996 and then just continued to build it out from there.
Outstanding. What innovative services do you offer to caregiving.com?
There's a couple, and some of them are free and some are something that people will pay for. We have chats three times a day at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time every day, 7 days a week. If you are in a tough spot, if you are in need of comfort, you can join those scheduled chats and connect with others who understand. Over Christmas, we know that sometimes that can be the loneliest 48 hours where you're thinking, I'm with family and friends, but I am feeling utterly alone because no one gets it. So we open up our chat room for 36 hours, and we actually have volunteers who are in that chat room throughout those 36 hours. So people can come in at any time and connect to someone, really gain comfort and understanding. We've had people that have come in that chat room during those 36 hours who are caring for a family member who's dying, and they just needed to take a break. And so they came into the chat room just to really share what was in their heart with people that they knew would get it. These were people we had never met before and never saw again. But in those 30 minutes that they were part of our chat room, it was really quite amazing. I had mentioned the training programs that we have, and those are really about the possibilities. We just launched a new training program, which is a certified caregiving specialist, and that's to help someone who's been in a caregiving situation for a while, is used to the crises, is not so, oh my gosh, what do I do? You know, it just freaks you out, these crises, but you get used to it, which you never think you will, but you do. And so our specialist is basically a virtual assistant for family caregivers who can help you manage the to-do lists, the tasks, help you schedule doctor's appointments, help you schedule your own day. And the specialist can work part-time out of their house. It's a way for them to make a little bit of money while they're also in a caregiving situation. And then we also have a national caregiving conference. And our conference is unique in that all the presenters either currently or previously cared for a family member. We're the experts in our caregiving experience, which is why we're the ones that deliver the presentations. So our attendees are also family caregivers and former family caregivers. But we have researchers who come because there's nothing that's more compelling than to match a story with your data. And so the researchers come to really connect and share with family caregivers to really add that personal piece to the data that they are collecting. We actually also offer the opportunity for anyone who wants to conduct research to come to the conference. They can have a focus group with family caregivers at the conference. And we ask them to award the family caregivers a financial incentive. It's not much. It's typically a $20 Visa card, but it's a way for family caregivers to come to the conference, share their expertise, and get rewarded for it.
Outstanding. Denise, from your perspective, what are some of the biggest challenges facing those who care for a family member?
You know, I think it's stress. I started thinking about this in 2014. My dad had bladder cancer. His bladder cancer had spread. We were at the doctor's office, his oncologist. We were checking in. I was standing behind him. At the time that the bladder cancer had spread, he was 82. And forgive me for mispronouncing this disease, but Ebola had an outbreak. And so the concern was we want to make sure that everybody who's at risk is not putting others at risk. And so my dad went through the standard, have you been to Africa? Have you traveled out of the country? And it seems so odd to ask my 82-year-old father who had advancing bladder cancer about this. And I thought, here I am standing behind him, obviously completely stressed out. You know, my hair is all over the place. I have clothes on, but they don't match. You know, I have my big backpack with everything I can bring with, you know, my laptop, because I'm going to keep working. And I think, where's the assessment for us and our stress? So I started thinking about family caregiver stress as really the overlooked epidemic, or one of the overlooked epidemics in our communities. And I wanted the CDC to start tracking it. I didn't get very far. I petitioned them. I tweeted at them. I emailed them. I did chats on Twitter about it. And when I didn't get anywhere, I thought, I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to track family caregiver stress and its source. So for the past 3 years, just about 1,000 family caregivers have indicated what their stress level is. And they can pick a number from 1 to 5, 5 being the most stressed. And family caregivers rate their stress at 4.14 right now. And that is consistent. 4.14 is the lowest it's ever been. 4.17 is the highest it's ever been. That says to me that family caregiver stress is consistent. It's always there. And the reason that we're stressed out is because we miss our lives. We put things on hold. We say no. We decide our carry, that's the term we use for the person that we're caring for. Our carry is the pressing need, and that's where we need to go, to the pressing need. And we know that stress hurts us. It physically hurts us. And yet there's no way for us to manage our stress effectively because there's nothing in our community that speaks to what we're doing that helps us. Even within the healthcare system, there's no one that says, oh my gosh, you're with your dad. You probably take care of him. Here's some information for you so that you can reach out and connect to support that's just for you. It's so easy to tell who's a family caregiver, and yet there's no way within our systems, the healthcare system, our houses of worship, our communities, our workplaces, to effectively just share resources with family caregivers. I mean, it seems like the easiest thing to do, but it does not happen. At time of diagnosis, a patient may receive information about their diagnosis, and yet it's not just the patient who's impacted, it's the family and then the family caregiver, and yet there's nothing for them about how to manage the stress. And it's such an easy solution, and it does not happen. And I'm always just aghast that we let people in pain stay in pain.
Well said. As I think back to my journeys in caregiving, you're exactly right. You turn off the personal switch and take 100% interest in the person you're caring for. And for me, just what you said is exactly how it worked. Although I didn't feel like my stress was high until a crisis came. And then my stress would get high until I resolved the crisis. And what I hope to find and help people find is how you avoid crisis in caregiving.
Yes.
By setting things up ahead of time that I wish I'd known ahead of time that I could set up, by understanding what problems were going to come as my situations got worse and worse from a health situation, because most of those things are predictable, or at least you can see kind of the way it's going to go. You know, what's going to happen when you hit the time to decide to go to hospice or not? Why should you say yes or no?
Oh, right.
You know, and with me, we said no with pride about hospice. No, we're not ready for that. Well, it turns out we probably should have said yes 8 months before we did with my mother.
Yes.
Because we got so many services that we wouldn't have gotten had we not been on hospice. We been on hospice. And if someone had provided, broken down some of my ignorance and pride on that, my mother would have had a much more comfortable last 8 months of her life.
I just want to share an insight about saying yes to hospice. And the reason that I encourage families to say yes when it's first offered is because you're introducing a new provider into your routine and schedule, and that's disruptive. And it's very disruptive if you introduce it during like the last week of your carrie's life. You might not like the nurse that you are matched with. And during the last week, it's hard to get another nurse. However, if you start hospice as soon as you think it's appropriate, and oftentimes you have to lobby for it, the doctor isn't going to say it's time for hospice. But if you are aware that you're adding another provider, you're going to start early so that you can get it organized. You can integrate it into your life so it's not such a huge disruption. One of my members on caregiving.com had a doctor that really encouraged the family not to use hospice until her mom's last week. Well, when her mom was then receiving hospice benefits, it turned out that one of her pain meds wasn't covered under hospice benefits. So then they had to figure out what's a different pain med to use. At her mom's last week of life, that's not the time to try to figure out how to keep her comfortable. That should have been done 6 months earlier so that it was all smooth going forward.
Great example, too, with medication differences. We experience that difference in a positive way, in that certain things they didn't want to give my mother before she was on hospice, they turned the tide as soon as she went on hospice and said, our job now is to make her comfortable.
Yeah.
And it made things much easier. I'm glad we veered off to tell that story about hospice. How do your services solve some of these other problems that caregivers face, especially the stress?
So our certified caregiving consultants learn a really effective communication technique so that they hear a stressed out and overwhelmed family caregiver. Oftentimes, when we're caring for a family member, it feels like the only way someone's going to hear us is if we shout. Because we've tried everything else. We've been polite, we've been accommodating, and things don't change. And then we just have to just be a bull and make a change. And then sometimes we get stuck in that, I've just got to shout because no one's going to hear me unless I shout. Or no one's going to hear what I'm saying because they're going to just jump to trying to fix me. And our consultants go through a training program that really helps them manage that stress by listening effectively. We don't judge. We don't jump in to fix. Our goal is to understand. When we communicate effectively with a family caregiver, their stress level goes down. They have an opportunity to talk out what's really going on without fear of judgment, without having to defend or explain what's really going on. And when they have that opportunity, they also have the opportunity to hear what the solution is. Oftentimes, we have the solution. We're just too stressed out to hear it. We just need time to talk it out. And that's what our consultants do. They create this safe place, a safe space for a stressed out family caregiver to talk it out to someone who gets it, because our consultants have been there. They've done it. They've been in that caregiving situation. And then if the family caregiver still is like, you know, I've talked this out and I'm still not sure what to do, our consultants can say, how about this? What do you think about this? Because we know the resources in our communities. We know what options are possible. We also have that perspective because we're not emotionally involved to be able to see it from a different viewpoint. That's really powerful. And when a family caregiver feels heard and understood, their stress goes down and they're able to find that perspective that helps them keep going.
Outstanding. From where you sit, are there solutions that are still missing out there in the caregiving space?
Yeah. Gosh, there's a lot. We do a chat on Twitter every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Anyone who currently or previously cared for a family member is welcome to join us. And last week I led a chat about emergency rooms. And I was thinking during that chat, what if I connected to someone who's just there for me? So my caree has this team that's trying to figure out what's the crisis, what caused the trip to the emergency room. They're taking care of the caree. And then someone like one of my certified caregiving consultants comes over and talks to me during the emergency room stay, makes sure that I'm okay, figures out what's going on for me, how am I feeling, and then gives me an app that says, okay, these are the tests that are happening right now for your caree. It looks like you've got about 15 minutes that you could walk to get a cup of coffee. Because otherwise I'm going to wait there because I never know when the doctor's going to come or I never know when the test is going to be done. So I get this app that just gives me the schedule, the best that it's possible. I mean, we understand that things happen, but gives me some guidance about whether or not the doctor's on its way. If the doctor's on her way, I'm going to run to go meet the doctor. But I don't want to sit there for 12 hours wondering, where's the doctor? If I had an app that had tests that are scheduled, tests that are completed, tests that have results when the doctor's going to come in, great. It's all on my app. And then if there's an admission, the app just keeps me going through that hospitalization with updates about tests, results, all that right there. Wouldn't that be awesome?
It
pages me when the doctor's on his way when my mom is in the hospital room. Oh, I would just feel so great. I had a situation where my dad fell at midnight, so I had to bring him to the emergency room to the same hospital where my mom was. And so I stayed up all night with my dad until he was settled in his room, and he was settled in his room maybe about 6 a.m. And I thought, I am going to catch the doctors on grand rounds. So I ran to the other side of the hospital, laid for a few minutes on my mom's little couch in her hospital room, and caught the doctors. And that was really one of the only times that I was effective about catching the doctors. And the reason was because I stayed at the hospital all night. That's not right. That's not right. We need to know what's going on. We're an integral part of the care team. It should be that nothing happens without our participation. No doctor visit, no rounds without the family caregiver in that participating.
Amen. I love it. Why are startups so important in the caregiving space?
A couple reasons. Oftentimes, there's that personal desire to change something that's not working, and that drives the startup. So something did not work during a personal caregiving situation, and so the individual says, I'm going to solve that. And so the startup happens. And I love that. I love that because when we have a solution that is directly tied to a personal experience, the solution has a better chance of working. And I also think that it brings in new voices to our space. And our space gets better when we have new, fresh perspectives about what could work and what's possible. Sometimes because I've been in this space for a long time, I have a tendency to say, that's not going to work. Well, that doesn't help. We need someone to come in and challenge me and say, why not? I think it can. Let's try it. I think that's really important.
I agree with you. And you never know, miracles happen. I can go into long stories about one that happened with my mom and one that happened with my dad, where doctors told us one thing and the next day, despite all the evidence, something different happened. So you have to be ready to expect the unexpected when you're a caregiver as well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Denise, what recommendations do you have for people who are listening, say, oh man, there's a resource, it's called caregiving.com. How do they get engaged? How do they benefit immediately from getting engaged with caregiving.com?
Just come on over, read our blog posts, watch our video chats, jump into a chat room. Just join us in any way that's appropriate for you. The other part about a caregiving experience is that it's very private. A lot of things happen that we think, I've got to just keep this to myself. It's important that you join our community and share only what you want to share. You can even change your name. You just need a valid email address. We have members of the website who go by nicknames. We had a woman who cared for her husband who went by Frogger. And that's what we called her, Frogger. That wasn't her name, but that was her nickname. And it helped her be able to talk honestly about what was going on during her life. If she knew that no one in the family was going to read it and say, oh, I didn't know that was going on. Or if it just so happened that her husband happened to look at the laptop and see what she was typing, she didn't feel like she was talking about something that he would have preferred they kept private. So I would say join us in a way that works for you. If you don't feel comfortable creating an account and it's free to join us, you can just start reading the blogs. I've had visitors to the website who have read blogs for years and never joined. And then after their caree dies, they'll send me a note and say, thank you so much. I've been reading for years, and just being able to read and know I'm not the only one was so comforting to me. So I would say use it in the way that works for you, but come on over. Start reading, start participating. Yeah, start commenting.
All right. So go on over right now. Go to www.caregiving.com. Bookmark that page. Keep up with all the great things that Denise and the team at caregiving.com are doing. Denise, it was so great to have you on the show. Thanks for stopping by and sharing your great wisdom with us.
Thank you so much, Joe. This was great.
It was great. That wraps this broadcast. On behalf of our guest, Denise Brown, I'm Joe Lavelle, and we'll see you soon on Intrepid Healthcare.